Great. Really great to be here this morning. There's a few slightly techie issues going on at the moment, so that's why Chris is just trying to work out a few things, and there's a short video to show later that... anyway, we'll try and show that, but I just wanted to say such a joy to be here this morning. You know, when I came in downstairs, there was just like a real buzz and a real joy, you know, and there were lots of people around, and it just felt... Oh, this is great. It's really good to be here. I love it. And then Amy, where's Amy? Oh, the other, sorry. Where's Amy? Right in front of my eyes. But I just thought the way that Amy was talking about, thank you, yes, Nick. Nick's doing that because I followed that QR code and signed Nick up to all the teams that I could. but I just thought the way that you were talking about the women, I just thought, oh, what a joy. You know, when we talk about each other like that, with such like affection and joy, and I just, oh, well done. It was really good. And does anyone here like rugby, apart from Colin? Okay, a few of us do. Okay, we watched you might have watched the rugby yesterday. It was if you don't like rugby, it's fine. But it was an important game, and England beat Ireland, you know, which was unusual. But the thing that really got me at the end was the way that some of the team members spoke about the rest of the team. So much so that I wrote some of it down. And it just says, we love to look after each other. This is, I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Steve Borthwick, or it might have been, I can't remember who it was, but somebody was saying, we love to look after each other. Ben Earl, I think it was. And then he said, we're just incredibly proud of one another. And then it said, we need each other. And they've been under, you know, they've been having a difficult time as a team. But that was the way they spoke about each other. And they think, if a rugby team does that, and then you think, and then you come in and you hear people talking about like that in the church, you just think, oh, what a joy. It's good. We need each other. We love each other. And that is relevant and pertinent to this morning, because we're continuing this Battleship Church series. That I think I came probably about 4 weeks now, and we started it. And it really came out of a guy that lives in France that came over and shared something prophetically for the church, for us as churches, and just said he saw the church as a battleship able to withstand all sorts of different sort of like waves. And, you know, it's not a light and flimsy church that gets knocked about, but actually A battleship is a church of substance that can take a battle to somebody somewhere, but it's structured well. And anyway, and then we just thought that in the middle of restructuring a few things, both at Trinity and here at KCC, we thought it'd be worthwhile just doing a few weeks on just some of the foundations of how we're building the church. Great. Thanks. It's coming up. Well done. So I think, just so you know, we're on the fourth of 5 weeks. I did something on leadership 4 weeks ago, and then Tim Dieppe from Trinity did something on membership a few weeks ago, and then Emma last week did something on fellowship and looked at diversity in the church, and then this morning I'm going to do something on partnership, what it means to work together with different groups, and then next week Robin is going to complete the series, and we're going to do something on discipleship. We asked this question before. Does everybody know, when you take the word a noun and you put ship on the end of it, what does it become? A noun. It just stays as a noun. Okay. We just thought it was quite a funny thing to do, to always have the ship on the end of anything. But what this morning we are going to look at three areas. We're going to look at three areas of partnership in the church this morning. We're going to look at men and women working together. We're going to look at working together with other churches. And we're going to look at how do we work as a church with apostolic oversight in the church. Okay, so that's where we're going to go. Can you turn, if you've got a Bible, and probably mostly on your phone, because we're going to read it in the NLT version of the Bible, Romans chapter 16. And until I'd preached this... sermon at Trinity, I had never ever preached from Romans chapter 16 before, and it's unlikely that you will hear many sermons on Romans chapter 16, but you'll see why. If you're thinking Rachel, about a really good name for a baby. Yeah, okay, there are loads of names in here. Okay, you can just choose, take your pick. Priscilla, and Aquila, there are some unusual names. And to be honest, there are some names here. I don't even know whether they're the men or women. But anyway, I did actually, when I read it to someone, I had worked it out, and we went and I found out who they all are. There are lots of names in here, okay? So I'm not going to ask anyone else to read it. I will read it myself, and I have practiced some of the names, okay, just so you get it. Okay, so are we ready? Romans chapter 16, from the NLT. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church at Cenchrea. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor amongst God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many and especially to me. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me, and I'm thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also, give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend Epaphras. He was the first person from Asia, from the province of Asia, to become a follower of Christ. Give my greetings to Mary, who has worked so hard for your benefit. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who were in prison with me. They're highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, a good man whom Christ approves. And give my greetings to the believers from the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet the Lord's people from the household of Narcissus. Give my greetings to Tryphena and Tryphosa. Those are my favorite names, God. I dare you. Tryphena and Tryphosa, the Lord's workers, and to dear Persis, who has worked so hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. Give my greetings to Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters who meet with them. Give my greetings to Philogius, Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and to Olympus and all the believers who meet with them. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. All the churches of Christ send you their greetings. So what we're going to do is, firstly, could you just have a one-minute discussion with somebody near you, just what strikes you about these verses? Just anything that you think, oh, that's quite interesting. Anything that strikes you. So you do have to turn around, like everybody, to have some discussion with somebody. If you're on your own, just turn around, include somebody. Yep, Lizzie, if you can turn around, so we've got to include everyone there as well. Be great. Okay. Great. So if we can come back. What are some of the things that just stick out from reading these verses? Sorry? Yeah, okay, so the first thing is, you can point out, Paul was a very popular bloke. He had loads of friends, yeah. Before the days of Facebook, anything like that, he had loads of them. Yeah, anything else? Yeah, you could say there was a genuine love for all of these people. Yeah, somebody else said? They're co-workers. They were doing stuff together. Yeah, anything else? Mixed group of people, absolutely. Everybody was appreciated. Some people he didn't even know, there wasn't anything specific. He just said, oh, we love you, you know? Yeah, fantastic. Anything else? Men and women, mixed group, yeah. Different gifts, they were doing different things. Anything else? As Ben mentioned, they also affirmed and encouraged. Yeah, he just mentioned their name. And sometimes even just perhaps mentioning their names, you know. Imagine if you were part of a church plant and then 2,000 years later they were still saying, and we really thank Emma and Anil. Who on earth are Emma and Anil? But imagine if your name, you did something and then your name got in a letter and then they were still reading it years later. It'd be phenomenal, wouldn't it? Be an amazing thing to do. I think there are a few things. We're looking at foundations for the church, Battleship Church. How can we be this church that is robust and keeps going? And I think there are a few things amongst the things that we've mentioned here that strike me from these verses. One is that I think, as you, I think somebody said, you can feel the depth of Paul's love for all of these different people, all different situations. Were they friends? Were they co-workers? Were they colleagues? Were they travel companions? I think they were all of those things. But somehow they'd been joined together and Paul just said, I love you. He recalls so many different people. He recalls the details of their lives. I'd love to know what Rufus's mum did for Paul. I don't know. Did he just wake him up? Paul, you lazy oik, get out of bed. You know, did he do his washing for him? Did he just say, Paul, don't wear those clothes. They just don't go together. Okay, don't. I don't know what did Rufus's mum do for Paul. But Paul said, I love that woman. She's like a mum to me. And there's this inherent sort of like humanity that they weren't just doing stuff. They weren't just project workers together. No, they loved each other. They were for each other. There was something incredibly warm. I went to Amplify, where Amy, is there anybody else? Who else is on Amy? So Amplify, which is a prophetic course run from King's Arms Church that Amy is on, and I saw there. And I was there a couple of weeks ago, and there was a room, probably, I don't know, 100 people in the room, but from all loads of different churches. And I just saw somebody that I hadn't seen for like 20 years. And then I saw somebody else that I had known quite well. And then I saw somebody else that I'd done youth work with. And you know, it was actually quite a moving moment that I saw all of these friends over the years. And I thought, oh, I love you. You're amazing. And I think I've realized the older I get, the more I value having just being able to do church with people, like good people. And I just think, oh no, I've so valued being able to do church with you. You know, and you know, at some point, Hatfield, you know, KCC will become its own church. He won't be under Trinity, you know, forever. He'll become its own, establish its own church. But what I really want to do is, like, for years and years and years and years and years, that we still just look at each other with extraordinary affection, and we still do stuff, and we love each other, and we cheer each other on. That's what we really want to be doing. I think Paul was able to recall the details of all these people in Romans chapter 16 because he prayed for them. He just prayed through all of these different people. He prayed for them. And I'd encourage you to pray for one another. The other thing that I think I just pulls out from here is that there is this clear sense of mutual trust and enjoyment in one another. And it talks about Phoebe. The first person that Paul mentions is Phoebe, and she was a wealthy woman. We don't know how she made her money, you know, as opposed to Lydia, who we knew was a merchant, and she sold clothes. But we don't know how Phoebe, but she was very wealthy. But what she did was she used that money, and she became a patron to many people that were in, like, Christian work. And so she would support them. And so a lot of the people that were sort of, like, travelling around and building churches, they owed it to Phoebe because she was paying for them. She was giving them the money in which to live. And so there's this tremendous sense of, like, we're partnering and we're doing something together. And this, I think it's not insignificant that Phoebe was mentioned first because she had such an impact on the gospel. She was probably called primarily, you know, she was a businesswoman, she was making money, but she was releasing so much ministry. And Paul just wanted to acknowledge that. And then I think there are a number of church groups that are meeting in their homes, you know, and Paul just said, oh, well done for opening your homes. If you lead a community group, people come into your home, well done. It's great. It's really good. We really, really love that. And then there were some people on this list that Paul doesn't even, he doesn't say why he mentions them, but he just says, but they're great people. We just love them. We really love them. The other thing that I mentioned, who said that they worked hard? Somebody mentioned that they were doing stuff. Nobody wants to own up to having a great answer. It says a number of times they worked hard. Priscilla and Aquila, who said, oh, these are my fellow workers, they even risked their lives for me. They worked so hard for the gospel that they risked their lives. It says Mary, she just worked hard. Abanus, he was a fellow worker. He was a grafter. Tryphena and Tryphosa. He just said, oh, they were workers. They just worked really hard for the gospel. It says the much-loved Persis, who worked hard for the church. I just need to let you know, sometimes working in the church, and I don't mean, you know, working, but just doing church, it's hard, isn't it? So I bet some people were here before 9 o'clock this morning. And I bet there are some people who are here before 9 o'clock every single Sunday. There are some people that just work really, really hard. Thank you. You know, I just want to say thank you for what. Thank you. Who boiled the kettles this morning for the teas and coffees? Come on, stick your hand up, please. Who? The caretaker. What is that? Saul? Is his name Saul? Saul. We need to pray for that man. He came to the carol service, and he was really interested in the Lord. We need to pray for Saul. Who sets all the PA up? Do you know what? What you need to realize is this stuff doesn't set itself up. Did you know? Yeah. It's not like one of those magic tables at home that you put down and all the cups magically disappear. No. Somebody does it. Somebody puts the chairs out. Somebody plans life groups. Some musicians get together midweek and they rehearse and they plan and they think, oh, what should we be doing? It takes like hard work. Do you know there are some people that lay all the stuff out for the kids' work that think, oh, what are we going to do for the kids? It doesn't just happen. It's really hard work. And sometimes we just need to say, oh, we acknowledge it and thank you, thank you, thank you. And there aren't many people that get paid for doing it. And do you know what? In some ways, you don't have to say thank you to me because actually I get paid. But nearly everybody just does it out of the goodness of their heart because they've caught something of the God and what God is going to do through the church. And so you have all of these things in Romans chapter 16, all these people doing all of these things, like building one another up, encouraging one another, serving, working hard. And then what you see is this, that the gospel was advancing. The gospel was advancing, and it wasn't just one man doing it. It wasn't just Paul grafting and doing everything himself. No, it was advancing. I would say that when I walked in this morning and it just felt there was laughter, there were people talking, there were people eating nice biscuits and drinking coffee. And now I would say that in some ways is the gospel is advancing because the church is vibrant. And if you've recently joined the church, I just need to say you're welcome. We love you, but you know, we're not going to keep welcoming you. We want you to come and play your part. To come and do something, you know, to feel you have got a contribution to make to this. And the thing is that when we read Romans 16, what we saw, and a number of people noticed this, is that there were many people working together, sacrificing a great deal, but there were men and women, different backgrounds, different social classes, different levels of education, and from many, many different countries. And that is what intentionally we want to do. When we sang those choruses in Ibu and what was the other one? Yoruba. If you're Nigerian, you were well up to, yeah, it's great. But there's an intentionality about that we celebrate it. Actually, this is good. We like this. We like, You know, different people from different backgrounds coming in and being part of it. But we do it because it says this. In Romans 12, verse 4, it says this. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to one another. And I think it touches on what Emma was talking about last week. Now, I know that actually, I know if you say diversity, actually lots of people think something else. You know, when we think diversity, we think, oh, can we think this? But actually, there is something about the kingdom of God. And I listened to most of what your sermon when I was driving somewhere. But I'm sorry. But there is something about the difference that is good and godly. It's really good. And then when we read that passage from Revelation 21, that's what we long for, isn't it? That new heavens and the new earth. It's going to be an amazing, incredible thing. Okay, so I just want to touch on three areas of partnership. And the first one is men and women working together. Does anybody know how many different people are mentioned in Romans 16? By name. Have a guess. How many? 30. 27. 27, so you're nearly right. I want to include Rufus's mum, just because I think it's quite nice. If you include Rufus's mum, it's 28 people. How many of those 28 people were women? How many do you think? 11. 11. Which means that 40% of Paul's most valued partners in the gospel were women. 40%. So, we, as part of this Battleship series, we're trying to bring some definition to what it means for men and women to work together. I mentioned, like 4 weeks ago, that actually we believe that elders in the church are men. It's very hard to read the Bible and not to come to that conclusion. And we want to uphold that. We feel that's the right biblical model to have. But you know, I have been in many New Frontiers leaders' meetings, you know, with 500 people in there. How many women do you think were in the mix? I would say less than that. I've been in some leaders' meetings when it's just been all men in the room. Now, what we need to do is we need to hold on to a biblical truth of saying we believe that elders are men. But I also want to be like Romans chapter 16, when Paul said, 40% of my most trusted leaders are women. I think that's where we got. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult to do that. How do we do that? But actually, that's where we have to go. We have to try and hold on to that tension. And sometimes it's a little bit easier just to say, go, oh, it's just all men, or it's all totally eaten up, where there's no difference at all. But we have to try and see the thread through Scripture. What do we believe the Bible is saying? And then try to hold on to that. And so what we want to do is we want to have be in churches with that are firstly led by teams that have a clear definition of what it means to be those different teams of elders teams and wider leaders teams. And we also want to talk about deacons. But we want to have gifted men and women of different backgrounds, different ages, married and single, serving according to the gifts that God has given them. And we need to do that in this context of genuine love, mutual respect, support, and encouragement. And it's not going to be straightforward, you know, it's not always easy to do that. But that is where we have to go to if we want to be like Romans chapter 16. I think part of our restructure that has meant that we're going to, you know, looking at this series is that we're just looking about all the different teams. I think there's a trustees team. Have I got anything? Is there a screen about that? No, don't worry. If it's not, don't worry. I thought I might have been clear. We've got some amazing like trustees team that Chris leads that trustees team. Chris, you are amazing at that. And I would really quite like you to be the chair. No, I'm not going to. But, you know, I think the Trinity trustees have a lot to learn from the trustees here, because I think you just do it well. You know, you do it really well. And then we've had for a long time, we've had this CLT, a Congregational Leadership Team. And actually what we want to do is make it slightly more biblical and call it, some people don't like the word deacons. I won't say why we don't like, but it's history. But we might, but the word diaconate is the biblical, is the Greek word that it comes from. So instead of having a CLT, we might just call it a diaconate, but with people who like carry very specific responsibility for particular areas in church life. And at some point, we want to create, we want to have appoint new elders. And that will be the, when we appoint other elders for KCC, that's the point when KCC doesn't, is no longer a congregation of Trinity, but you become your own church, and then we work together, and then we keep working together as much as we can. But that's the end goal. We started this whole process quite a few years ago now, where the end goal would be that KCC would become its own independent church again. That's what we're going to do. So that's where we're going to go. We started with that end in mind, and hopefully we'll get there. But that's what, that's the goal to do. And we're also going to create a core team. And a core team, it just means that you can have all sorts of different leaders, but you can have men and women working together. And that's what we want to try and do. They're not going to usurp elders, and they're not going to be deacons, but we want to have these two different, like these multiple different teams. The other thing, just to mention, and I don't know if you may know this or you may not, but as of the 1st of May, I'm going to go on sabbatical, which means that I just won't be around. Which I want to think, oh my word, everything's going to fall apart. But I just think it'll be so much better. It'll be so much better. Because what you have to do is you have to create these multiple teams that will carry responsibility. And actually, it means that it's not down just to one person. It's down to many, many different people. And so those are some of the teams. And it's interesting, I think, we wanted to hold on to that sense of elders are accountable before God. But then there are other teams that are responsible, that carry responsibility really well. So that's, I think, I want to catch something from Romans chapter 16 about men and women working together. I'm going to move on and just to talk about partnering with other churches. Could you go on to the next? What have we got on the next one? What's the next screen? Yeah, okay, let me just talk about that. Look, if you like diagrams, great. If you're slightly bored, you're thinking, get on your phone for a minute or two, it's fine, don't worry. I just wanted to explain it for people who don't know, or for people who are uncertain, what on earth, what is this church? Who are we part of? You know, what is, you know, what I just need to let you know. Is it all come as one? It hasn't come as individual. Okay, what we're going to do. So the biggest screen there is New Frontiers. New Frontiers. It was a, when was New Frontiers? When did it first start? Colin and Jane, when did it start?
As New Frontiers.
Yeah, Coastlands. Well, when did Coastlands start? 70s. Early 70s. There was a guy called Terry Virgo and a few other people down on the South Coast. They got together, churches filled with the Holy Spirit. It was really weird. People didn't know what to people didn't know what to expect. And then people started gathering in. And then Terry started leading all these churches. And then it just grew and it 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 grew. And then in the end, we were doing Stony Bible Week with 20,000 people sort of like gathering in. It was a massive thing. There were lots of churches. And so we were all part of New Frontiers. And then at some point, and I think, I need, it would be helpful if I knew the dates, but I think it was about 2011. If anybody knows, please correct me. What happened was New Frontiers had got so big, and we really valued like relationships. It got so big that we split up into lots of different smaller spheres. And Catalyst was one of those spheres. Now, Catalyst wasn't that big, and all the others were really little. I just didn't know how to, and my brain couldn't work out how to do it diagrammatically. But anyway, but Catholicism was just one of the spheres, and there was probably about 7 or 8 different spheres, all different names. So Catholicism became a sphere. And then within Catalyst, and Dave Devenish, somebody called Dave Devenish was a key part of that, then within Catalyst, there then began to be these little hubs, you know, and groups of churches. And so we're part of a hub based at King's Arms Church. So you might hear people say, oh, we went to King's Arms Church in Bedford. Why are we going up there? Well, it's because we're part of that little, we're group of churches there, and we connect in with it, and that's where we find real life. And then as within that, then there's this other little sub hub of about 5 or 6 churches, of which there's Trinity, there's KCC, there's Clive Sharp down in Islington. He's planted a church in Basildon. There's a guy called Paul Sharp who's planted a church in Upminster, and there's a guy called Ben and Claire Clark who are planting a church over in Harlow, and there's a church in Munich that we've been supporting. And so we've got this little group here, and then like there are like friends. We just do stuff together, and then we pray together quite regularly. But that what you're doing is you're just finding sort of like relationship, but we're still part of this wider thing called New Frontiers. And I just feel that there is something particularly about working in that sub-hub of like 5 or 6 churches. It's just real joy. There's real delight. And we will plant churches together. So we're planting a church in Harlow. But we're doing that together. We're praying for it. And at some point, I might come and say, KCC, would you be happy to take an offering to support a church plant over in Harlow? That would be fun, wouldn't it? Just be great. We're just encouraging. We're doing it together. Okay, and then The other thing that I just want to talk about is working with apostolic oversight. Apostolic oversight. We are part of King's Arms, and I just need to let you know, I have to have somebody that I submit to. I have to have somebody that will say to me, Duncan, that was really stupid. Or would say to me, Duncan, why have you done that? Or will ask me accountability questions. Will ask me difficult questions. I am not going to exercise any leadership authority in any church unless somebody else is going to ask difficult questions of me. And also, I just need to let you know, I choose to submit to somebody else. You know, it was really interesting. I just think I have to do that. And so, sometimes it changes, but there is a guy called Richard Whiteman, and I've got a 2-minute video in a moment to share. But Richard Whiteman is an amazing guy. And he did lead a church in Milton Keynes. He's, you know, if you want to know his background, he was the head of, I can't remember, customer service at Network Rail for a long time. He studied history at Oxford, then worked at Network Rail, and then led a church in Milton Keynes that has grown like really large. He's one of the most strategic people I know. And I just need to let you know, I am not the most strategic person I know. And so what Richard does is he's just really helpful. And so actually, Richard's handprints have been on this church. You might not have even known it, but a few years ago, when we were just like beginning to work together, and I said, Richard, you know, what do we do? What's the best thing to do? So I sat down with Richard probably 2 or 3 times, and he said, look, I think you should think about doing this and this and this. One of them, he said, create a congregational leadership team, because that will really help develop other leaders and bring ownership. And deal with these things in this way. And you know, so actually he already has had a significant impact on this church. But he's a most delightful man. The other thing is that I sat down but I said to him, I really want you to oversee me and Trinity and therefore, you know, Hatfield as well. And then the first thing he did, he said, is, can I have Jill's number? And I thought, yeah, of course you can. I don't think he wanted to ask her out because that would have been inappropriate. but he just said, I want you to feel free to ask any question you want. You can look at any search history on my computer. I can give you the code for my phone. You can do anything you want. You can ring my wife up at any point and just ask her anything. And I hope you will. I genuinely hope you will at some point, because then it becomes real. And then you think, all right. But anyway, there's something about when you work together, you have to sort of like be submitting to other people. And Richard has other people that he will work with, but he's an older guy. Anyway, is the video, are we okay to watch the video? So I just asked Richard because, you know,
hello, I'm Richard Whiteman. And Duncan.
Can it go back to the beginning? I can't remember what I was going to say. Thank you. Thank you. I just asked Richard to say, can you explain what apostolic ministry is? And in 2 minutes, 15 seconds, this is what he says. Okay. Yeah, we're good.
Hello. I'm Richard Whiteman. And Duncan's asked me to answer what does apostolic input and working with apostolic support look like. So the way I think about the apostolic is, in biblical terms, it's a sent one. It's someone who's sent to bring the culture, the values, the approach of, actually in New Testament times, the Romans who'd sort of taken over a new area or whatever. So it's to bring values and sort of the Roman way of doing things. So it's a well understood term in New Testament times. I appreciate that it's lost something in subsequent eras. It's someone who helps lay foundations, making sure that they're true, helping to adjust and rebuild when they're, you know, a bit off course, providing big picture support and guidance. It's not someone who directs or enforces. It's someone who helps and builds and supports. And the aim is to build a community of people who are seven things. So number one, they're by grace followers of Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And number two, they're devoted to God. And number three, they're people of the Spirit. Number four, they have genuine love for one another. Number five, they have anointed leadership operating in teams. And number six, they declare and demonstrate the good news of the kingdom of God. And finally, number seven, they make healthy, multiplying disciples. So disciples who multiply again and again and again. So that's how I see it. It's great to be working with Duncan and trying to provide some support to him. God bless you as you build and grow and advance cause the kingdom of God to prosper as you share your faith, as you build a community together, and as we lay those foundations of a good biblical basis for church life together. God bless you all.
That's Richard. Richard isn't a regional manager. He's not like a Starbucks manager or a Pizza Hut manager or something like that. But he is a man that I value, willingly submit to him. And also, he has built a large church in Milton Keynes of, I think it's probably 500-600 people. So I think that he will help us, and I think he will have an impact on us, and he will help us grow, actually. And I'm thinking for Trinity and for here, it would be great, wouldn't it, to have no empty seats? You know, 6 months down the line, wouldn't it be great to have no empty seats and another row of people here? Not because we've set targets for growth, but because we're so filled with the Holy Spirit that people just come and they want to be in the presence of the living God with us. So that's where we're going for. That's what our desire is. And so let me just finish by reading the last three verses from Romans chapter 16 that we didn't read earlier. Now all glory to God, who is able to make you strong, just as my good news says. This message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plan for you Gentiles, a plan kept secret from the beginning of time, but now, as the prophets foretold and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere, so that they too might believe and obey him. And all glory to the only wise God, through through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. In a moment, I'm just going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray. But before we do that, this whole thing about building a church, it's not about us. It's just about Jesus. But the Bible does give us some really helpful ways on how do you build a church so that we can keep Jesus right at the center. And so we can be open to the Holy Spirit day after day and year after year. Can I just ask you to stand with me? Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, this is your church. You lead this church. Jesus, you have authority in this church. Jesus, you are Lord. We follow you. But I thank you that just as Paul talks about this extraordinary list of people, I thank you that you are gathering us together for your kingdom and for your glory. And we pray, Lord, that as we work out how to do church well, like a battleship, that there would be many, many people that would come to a saving faith and knowledge in you, Lord Jesus. We ask, Lord, that our lives would be so bright, the way that we live, Lord, the way that we love one another, would cause everyone to say, oh, what is it? What is it that's different about you? And so we ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us now for your glory? I pray that your church in Hatfield would arise so beautiful, so victorious, so filled with the power of your Holy Spirit. We say, come, Lord. Come, Lord. Father, thank you.